You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 23rd of June 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I'm very sorry I was unable to be here yesterday. I was ill over the weekend, unable to record Real Britannia with Max Mussum. But I do hope you enjoyed the Greatest Britons episode that we played for you yesterday. And the next one in that series is actually Boadicea, which is a particularly good presentation, I think, that you will enjoy when it gets replayed again. But we have had lots of really interesting news stories to get into over the last couple of days, particularly shocking news stories, just one after the other, really. It all began on the Saturday night with reports of stabbings in Reading. Particularly unsettling videos were being circulated on social media showing stabbing victims, obviously white stabbing victims. And surprisingly, after the amount of times that we have seen the George Floyd video that's being shown everywhere, there were calls for people to stop circulating these videos on social media. And you can't help but think, is it different if it's a black person that's being killed? That's okay to be shown on social media. But if it's white victims, that can't be shown on social media. And of course, the way it was reported, every news report was very keen to stress that this had nothing to do with the Black Lives Matter protest. But it happened right after the Black Lives Matter protest, within 2 hours at the same place. Obviously, the people that were there were all the people that were still there from the protest. They were telling us that this killer was going after random victims. Now, whenever you hear that term, random victims, it always seems to mean white victims. It means that the police can't actually work out a connection between the attacker and the victims. But even if the attacker knew nothing else about them, he did know one thing about them, didn't he? He could see what race they are. I think that possibly played into this, because apparently he didn't just stab everybody. He went for particular people. Now, it has been said since that the three victims were also homosexual, so that may have played into this. He may have been going for homosexuals as well. But he was definitely going for white people, I think. We've got three dead. I think two have been released from hospital, and I think there's another two in hospital. So seven people attacked in all. Absolutely horrific. Absolutely horrific. And if at any time you would expect people to say, well, actually, white lives do matter too, it would be when there's been a terrorist attack where white people have been killed. Not so. Yesterday, or actually over the weekend, I believe it was, there was a plane flown above a football ground, a football match between Burnley and Manchester City. And somebody had paid for this plane to be flying a banner saying, "White Lives Matter." Now, of course, white lives matter. I mean, why should that be a shocking statement? It's not a shocking statement. White lives do matter. If people are going to be going around saying black lives matter and making a big point of saying black lives matter, then just in the interest of equality, you have to say, well, white lives matter too. It's not just black lives that matter, it's white lives that matter as well. And nobody is standing up for this. Nobody is saying this in the mainstream media. The mainstream media are supposed to, by law, they're supposed to provide a balanced view of the news. They're supposed to present us with all opinions, and they don't present us with all opinions at all. They present us with one lopsided, very, very heavily weighted to the left opinion on this. And it's the same with racism. Okay, we all agree racism is wrong, but there are other ways that racism can be dealt with. But the way that they present racism should be dealt with on the mainstream media is to say, well, we need to have more black judges, more black police, more black teachers, more black people on the television. And they don't present the other solution to this, which would be to say, well, yes, give black people all of that. And also you could put them in a separate area where they had all of that, which would satisfy what the black people want. And it would also lower the crime rate and lower a lot of the problems for white people that have to live alongside them. And this is what the Russian politicians have been saying over in Russia. This has been the conversation in Russia, is why doesn't America just give them separate areas? I mean, this is how people want to live naturally. But you won't hear this opinion on the BBC, because they'll claim that that is a racist opinion. It's not a racist opinion. It's just the obvious solution. And it is, in actual fact, what the black activists are campaigning for. Now, this banner, I think, was an amazing idea to do this. I suspect there would have been a huge cheer outside the stadium when it happened, because football itself is now being politicized and being used in an anti-white way by getting football players to kneel down in submission before this Black Lives Matter mantra. And as I say, if they're going to say Black Lives Matter, they have to say white lives matter as well. Otherwise, they are saying, well, we exclude white lives. We don't care about white lives. We're just going to kneel before black lives. And that's how it appears to everybody outside of this little bubble of mainstream media and diversity trained establishment types. You just see what is happening. And what we see happening is we see our politicians and our police kneeling before a black activist group that calls for the defunding of police and says that white people should just be handing everything over to blacks. I mean, that is black supremacy, and they're kneeling before black supremacy. So this banner flying White Lives Matter over the stadium, I think it was fantastic. But of course, we are only being given one viewpoint on this in the news. Burnley captain Ben Mee has condemned the fans that flew a banner reading White Lives Matter over the Etihad Stadium ahead of their game against Manchester City, claiming he is ashamed and embarrassed by it. Why is he embarrassed by somebody saying that white lives matter? Why should anybody be ashamed to say that? This is as bad as these people that come out and attack people for saying that it is okay to be white. A simple, unoffensive statement. It is okay to be white. And they attack that. And now they come out and attack a simple, unoffensive statement such as white lives matter. A plane trailing a message reading White Lives Matter Burnley was visible as players took the knee before Manchester City beat Sean Dyche's side. It's not right. I totally condemn it. Hopefully these people can be taught on what the Black Lives Matter is trying to achieve. We want equality in society, in football, everything, Burnley captain Ben Mee said. Well, how is there equality in society, in football, and in everything, if you can't say white lives matter? If you can say black lives matter, but you can't say white lives matter, that means there is no equality. And you can't, I just don't understand how anybody can hold these two opposing positions within their mind, that it's okay to say black lives matter, but it's not okay to say white lives matter, and claim that saying black lives matter is equality. That's not equality. He says it's unacceptable. You don't want that attributed to the town and the whole people or to the club, and it is unacceptable. I know the club have put out a statement, and I'm sure it's saying that's unacceptable. I can only apologise and say it's clearly unacceptable. Why is it unacceptable to say white lives matter? Are we supposed to be saying white lives don't matter? We don't care about white lives. We don't care how many white lives are lost. They don't mean anything to us. I mean, this is what is being implied here. They're not saying this is the wrong time for this, this is political and we shouldn't have it at a football match. They're saying it's embarrassing and they're ashamed by it. And they are the ones that brought it into football by getting all the football players to wear these t-shirts pledging allegiance to black supremacists and telling them that they have to kneel before them. So they're the ones that started this. And now they're saying it's unacceptable. And they're not saying it's unacceptable because of that, because obviously it's fine to do it if you're black. It's just if you're white, you're not supposed to do it. Meanwhile, Burnley have vowed to ban anyone connected with the organisation of the banner. I mean, what business is it of theirs if somebody flies a plane in the sky with a perfectly legal banner on it that says something completely inoffensive and positive? If it's positive to say that black lives matter, then it's got to be positive to say that white lives matter as well. Burnley strongly condemns the actions of those responsible for the aircraft and the offensive banner, a club statement said. We wish to make it clear that those responsible are not welcome at Turf Moor. How can they say that is offensive? What is offensive about saying that white lives matter? I mean, all lives matter, but if you've got one group saying their group's lives matter and nobody else can say that theirs matter, then that's offensive. That's what is offensive, is just having one group whose lives apparently matter and nobody else's lives matter. The statement continues, "This in no way represents what Burnley Football Club stands for, and we will work fully with the authorities to identify those responsible and take appropriate action." To take appropriate action? What are they talking about? Legal action here? So it's illegal to say that white lives matter? I mean, it is becoming so obvious now that our countries have become anti-white. The institutional racism here is against white people. This is right the way across the establishment. This is all the way across the media. This is the politicians that are saying that white lives don't matter, effectively. The club has a proud record of working with all genders, religions and faiths through its award-winning community scheme and stands against racism of any kind. Well, it's quite clearly got no record of working with white people. It's not proud of working with white people at all, is it? It wants to silence white people and tell us that our lives don't matter. Former City defender Micah Richards, who is black, working as a pundit for Sky Sports, said, "I checked my phone and a lot of people have sent it to me, and it's so disheartening. I don't want to fight fire with fire. I want to educate these people. I would love to know, even the pilot, surely that's got to go through someone and say, we're going to fly a plane with White Lives Matter. There's different processes to make that happen. I would like to see them and ask them, why do you feel this way?" I mean, it's just amazing that they could say these things. And he's asking, why do white people feel that white lives matter? I mean, it's obviously for the same reason that he feels that black lives matter. And it is just absolutely naked, this hatred of white people and hatred of white people that actually care about other white people. It doesn't mean you don't care about every other race just because you care about your own, but quite clearly, that's how it appears with these blacks. They're saying you can't care about other races. You just have to care about black people. If you say you care about anybody else other than black people, then we're going to have to get the appropriate authorities involved. He says, "Explain to me why you feel this way. I've been around a lot of black people, a lot of white people. I'm genuine in my heart. I don't understand why people actually feel this way. Until we actually understand why, then nothing's going to change. It's really not." I mean, why on earth would white people care about white lives? Is that really that hard a question to answer? And I just cannot make head nor tails of this. Why it is supposedly so wrong to say that white lives matter when you've got everybody else saying that Black Lives Matter. He says it's everyone versus the racists. I'll say it again, I don't know how many times I have to say it, saying White Lives Matter, it's making it a race war, and that's not what Black Lives Matter are protesting about. They're the ones making it a race war by saying that nobody can say that White Lives Matter. We're all supposed to just get down on our knees and talk about black lives and how important they are to us. He is the one that is making this into a race war. He's saying it's everybody else versus the racists. And quite clearly, if you care about white lives, if you care about white interests, if you care about your people and you happen to be white, then you're a designated racist, aren't you? It means you must hate everybody else. It doesn't mean you hate everybody else. It just means that you want the best for everyone. And particularly you are going to want the best for your own people, just the same as you're going to want the best for your own family. Your race is just your extended family. Your nation is just your extended family. And we've got nobody that is advocating for us. And anytime anybody says anything positive about the white race or about any of the white nations, this is the response that we get to it. Just think of the amount of investigations there have been to find people that have put up stickers saying it's okay to be white. That supposed hate speech, it's hateful just to say that it is okay to be white. How do you think this makes white children feel when they hear all this stuff, when they see that white lives don't matter and no, it's not okay to be white? And then they wonder why we've got children with depression and mental health problems and things like that. He says, that's what people are getting confused with. I just like to sit down with these people and actually get in their heads. And why do they feel this way? It goes deeper than just a plane. I'd like to get to the deeper root and make real change, because today that was absolutely disgusting. So he thinks it's absolutely disgusting that white people care about white lives and are concerned about seeing their statues pulled down, about seeing riots in the streets, about seeing the supposed forces of law and order kneeling before the rioters and the looters in an obvious image of submission. And on this day, after three white men were viciously murdered in a park after one of these Black Lives Matter protests, he can't understand why white people might be thinking, well, hang on a minute, white lives matter. And he's saying, I'd like to get into their heads because I don't understand why they feel this way. He seriously doesn't understand why a white person might feel that white lives matter, why a white man might be just a little bit concerned when he sees that three white men have just been viciously murdered in a park. Well, let's have a closer look at what happened in the park here, because we're now starting to get some more details out there about the killer. He was Libyan, and his mother is very concerned about him, apparently. The mother of suspected Reading terror attacker, Kairi Sadala, says he should have been in a mental health unit, as it emerged he was on the government's de-radicalisation scheme. So it's the authorities' fault that this Libyan killed three white men. Well, it is the authorities' fault, actually, because they brought him over here, didn't they? But it's not their fault because he wasn't in a mental health unit. Sadala, 25, is in police custody and is being questioned over the horrific knife attack in Forbury Gardens, Reading, on Saturday evening, which left three dead and another three seriously injured. Now, his family claim he was let down by the system, with official documents revealing he had been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, and an emotionally unstable personality disorder. So there's no concern here from the mother about the white people that he's killed, the white people that he's left injured, this horrific, vicious, violent attack in a park when people were just enjoying the summer evening. No, she's more concerned that he wasn't being treated properly by the medical establishment in Britain. And where is his mother? Well, his mother's in Tripoli, Libya. His mother, from the family home in Tripoli, claims that something somewhere has gone wrong and has called for an investigation into her son's contact with mental health professionals before Saturday's attack. So she's expecting the British authorities to deal with the medical problems of her son, who is not in Libya, who is in Britain. I mean, is he a tourist here or something like that? Because he can't be a citizen if his mother lives in Libya. It also emerged last night that the 25-year-old Libyan refugee had been involved in the government's Prevent De-Radicalisation programme. So he clearly came over here claiming that there was a war in France, because he couldn't have claimed that there was a war in Libya, surely, because the nearest country to Libya is, Tunisia? Egypt? They've got a lot of countries on Africa, on that African continent, that are closer to Libya than anywhere in Europe. So he's obviously here as a fake refugee, and he was allowed in, and he's shown his gratitude to us by attempting to kill 6 or 7 white people. According to the Times, Sadala was not considered to be a threat by Prevent officials. And the Prevent program is where they try to work out people that might turn into terrorists and then try to prevent them from becoming terrorists. And there's been a lot of talk about how they're going after a lot of white people, essentially saying that anybody that has so-called far-right sympathies is a potential terrorist, at the expense of going after people who are far more likely to carry out terrorist attacks, just by looking at the statistics, and far more violent group terrorist attacks, out of this desire to be politically correct and not to be seen to be just going after Muslims. So he was actually investigated by these Prevent officials, and they didn't consider him a threat. It comes as his cousin, who was by the side of his mother yesterday, translated her words and told the Telegraph she's worried about Khairi and the direction this investigation seems to be taking. She is saying he is on medication. His mental health has deteriorated since Ramadan. He couldn't sleep. He had nightmares. He'd asked me to pray for him. So no concern at all for the people that have been killed. And she's concerned that this direction, this investigation, instead of looking into the fact that he wasn't being treated properly by the NHS, the investigation is looking into whether it was a terror attack. She said, why was he out on the streets and not in a mental health centre? Well, why wasn't he in Libya? Why wasn't he in Libya? His own country being cared for by his own people. Why does he think he can come to Britain and complain that the British Medical National Health Service isn't up to his standards? I mean, what is the medical establishment like in Libya? It used to be very good under Gaddafi, and everybody used to have access to it under Gaddafi, but of course they decided that they were going to attack Gaddafi and overthrow Gaddafi, and the place is completely lawless ever since. The last place you would want to accept anybody into your country from would be Libya, and possibly Somalia, pretty much most of the African countries which are war zones. I'm sure there must be some that aren't actually war zones. The last time she spoke to him, she said, why don't you come home to us? But he said he had made his mind up. This is the country he wanted to live in. Or is that the country he wanted to kill people in? Because he may well have blamed Britain for what went on in Libya, for the destruction of Libya, because we've got to add that into that. We've got to factor that into this as well. When we take in these refugees from places like Syria and Libya, the reason why their countries are in such a mess is because of our interference in those countries. We supported this overthrow of Gaddafi. We supported it in a big way. We sent the people that overthrew him. We were the ones that actually sent them back over there to Gaddafi, and we were the ones sending weapons to them, and we were the ones enforcing a no-fly zone, which effectively meant bombing all the military defences that Libya had, so that these revolutionaries could destroy the country. So he's obviously going to have some hatred for Britain there, and yet we take these people into our countries, and we give them more than we actually give to our own citizens in many respects, and this is the way they repay us. The family also revealed that Sadala had a privileged upbringing in a wealthy suburb of Tripoli, where he attended private school, enjoyed regular holidays, and went to summer camps. I'm sure that was before Gaddafi was taken down. I mean, this guy probably was a supporter of Gaddafi and had a lot of hatred for Britain for what's happened to his country. He has four brothers and four sisters, all regular travellers who spend a lot of time in the UK. And this is like the Manchester bomber, isn't it? Who had other relatives that were popping back and forth from Libya to Britain. Sadala, according to his family, moved to the UK because he liked the way of life and wanted to live freely and in peace. He was very westernised, his cousin insisted last night. So they're trying to say that he's not a terrorist, he's not an Islamist. But of course, if he was on that Prevent programme, he wasn't on there for being so-called far-right, was he? Now, just to find something positive to talk about here with all this anti-white hatred, there is somebody rather important that is actually talking a lot of sense. A Colonel Richard Kemp. An obsession with catching far-right extremists in Britain is diverting police, MI5 agents and public money away from stopping more dangerous jihadis, a leading intelligence expert warned today. Colonel Richard Kemp told Mail Online he thought the counter-terror focus has lurched too far towards the far right and is a pretense to appease the sort of people that do want to do damage to the UK, such as Islamic terrorists and the hard left. Now, we have had quite a few people locked up for so-called far-right terrorism. But there have only been two deaths. And one of those, and in fact, both of those, the people that carried out the killings were probably more likely to be mentally unbalanced. You've got the guy that killed Joe Cox, and he just lost his house, I believe, and it was being given to Syrian refugees. And the other one was the Welsh guy, who had learning difficulties, been in lots of trouble with the law, and he was drunk, and he ran someone over. These were not organised terrorism, not like Islamic State. This wasn't in support of a defined ideology like radical Islam, and it was just two. And you think of how many people that Islamic terrorists have killed in Britain. And yet all the other people that are in jail for so-called far-right terrorism are in there either for putting stickers up or they are in there for continuing to maintain friendships that they had whilst they were in the organisation which became proscribed. In fact, there's more than one. There was National Action, and I think they proscribed a couple of others as well. But the people that were actually within National Action, they kept up and maintained friendships. And that seems to be the reason why these people have been jailed. They weren't actually planning any terrorist actions or anything like that. It was just that they kept up these contacts. At least that's how it appears to me. There was this one plan to kill an MP. And again, it's very sketchy whether that was actually terrorism. That seemed like it was more to do with a revenge fantasy about trying to get a policewoman, and the MP that was involved, that was just some kind of subplot. And you compare that to nail bombs going off in Manchester, people chopping people up with swords on London Bridge. You got this attack. You've got people going out stabbing people, trying to run people over in vehicles. Before that, you've got the bus being blown up, the 7/7 attack. And you've got hundreds of people that have been injured by Islamic terrorists. And the so-called far-right threat really pales in comparison. But this is the first time that anybody of any stature is actually on record as pointing this out. And he's also pointing out that by going after the so-called far right, it's appeasing, as he says here, the people that do want to do damage to the UK, such as Islamic terrorists and the hard left. Because, of course, the groups like Hope Not Hate, which are the hard left, they focus on these youngsters that express nationalist ideas, and they pressurize the media to go after them effectively. And they certainly made a point of targeting these ex-members of National Action and trying to cause problems for them and ruin their lives. So that's the hard left that he is talking about here. And also special interest groups, minority interest groups that are quite large within the Labour Party. Libyan suspect Khairi Risadala is believed to have been on the radar of MI5 because of a tip-off that he wanted to join Islamic State, and is alleged to have carried out the three murders in Forbury Gardens in Reading on Saturday night, just 16 days after being released from prison. Just like PC Keith Palmer, who had that small memorial put up for him, and the guy that attacked him was attacked by white people with a marlin spike from a swordfish, I believe it was. Very, very brave white people that tackled that one. But he had just been released from prison as well. Sadala is believed to be among 43,000 people in the UK that MI5 is aware of who pose a potential terrorist threat, of which around 4,000 are linked to right-wing extremism, compared to tens of thousands of potential jihadis. So 10%. 10% is what they're looking at here. And I would suggest that a lot of that is just people saying silly things in chat rooms, making silly memes in chat rooms, and it gets taken that they mean these things seriously. So really, 9/10 of the resources should be going on Islamic terrorism, but it's not. Britain's top anti-terror cop, Neil Basu, has repeatedly said that right-wing extremism poses the fastest-growing terror threat to the UK, while Home Secretary Priti Patel told the Commons this afternoon that since 2017 they have foiled 25 terrorist plots, with just 8 driven by right-wing ideology. So a third of them there were supposed right-wing terror plots. And you got Neil Basu saying that it's the right-wing that pose the fastest-growing terror threat. In actual fact, the BBC had a documentary on the other night, right after this killing, about the American group, The Base, which was quite obviously set up by the CIA or the FBI. The guy that set it up was working for them. And they had Neil Basu on that, talking about how there was this big threat from neo-Nazi terrorists. And yet, that's not what we see, is it? We see people being murdered by Islamists, basically. And this really does fit in with them saying that white lives don't matter, isn't it? You know, we get white people that are killed in a terrorist act, and then on the BBC we get a documentary about what a threat the far right is, what a terror threat the far right is. Colonel Kemp has said that this focus on the far right is a false emphasis by police and the security services. He said the authorities know full well that the far right extremism is not a major threat in the UK. The reason that it is often spoken about and discussed is because it is a way of appeasing the sort of people that do want to damage the UK, like Islamic terrorists and, to a lesser extent, the hard left. Obviously, we have seen far-right people doing some terrible things, but it is in no way comparable to Islamic Jihad or things similar to that. And it's great that we've actually got somebody now in the establishment who is pointing that out. Surely he says here that the authorities do know this, and they're just trying to be politically correct by saying other things. But the problem is, they're diverting their resources to the wrong people. Quite clearly, if you're going to take the very most far-right terrorism could be attributable to 10% of the actual terrorism at the very, very most. So why are they diverting at least half their resources to that instead of 10% of their resources? 90% of their resources should be directed to Islamic terror. But of course, then they would be accused of being Islamophobic, wouldn't they? But at least it's now being spoken about in the mainstream media at last. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.